Welcome to Cowboy Junction. So glad you're here this morning. You survived the fair and rodeo parking lot. Yes, you did it, folks. Congratulations. Favorite, let me just let you know, I learned something this year at the fair and rodeo. Add a little coconut to your coconut flavor to your lemonade. It is unbelievable. So I don't know why I shared that, but I did. Welcome our online campus. So glad you're joining us. I don't know if you know this, but we have a pretty large online campus, and there are people watching from Lubbock to Carlsbad to Artesia and points beyond. And just the fact the gospel is getting to Artesia is amazing. Yes. We can lead some bulldogs to Jesus. That is so awesome, guys. We've been praying for your salvation for years. So great. No, I'm serious. I just want to welcome everybody. Did you have a great week? Anybody go to the fair and rodeo? Raise your hand. Oh, it was so much fun. And I just want to let you know that we are very blessed to get to do that amazing thing here. And let me just tell you, a lot of people look at the fair and the rodeo these days as something that serves them, okay? That's why there's so much griping, because it's not serving us the way we want it to. I wanted to say this, and I hope it gets to the county commissioners, I hope it gets to the city councilmen, I hope it gets to the fair and rodeo boards. They do a fantastic job for something that is very difficult to do and they don't get paid for. It's all volunteer, and they do a fantastic thing. And I want to turn to you as Cowboy Junction folks and let you know, if you ever get a chance to turn to anybody who is responsible for making decisions to see that fair and rodeo take place, I want you to go out of your way, walk across Walmart, walk across the room, walk straight up to them, and I want you to start off like this. I want you to say, thank you for all the hard work you guys did for that fair and rodeo. And you just can't believe how much it would mean to them, because they don't hear that. They don't hear that. So I just wanted to jump in there and tell you that. And I do have a sermon to that. That's not my only sermon. Okay? So are you ready to hear the word of God? Yes. Anybody ready to grow in Jesus? Yes. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. You ready? Okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. You are great. You're greatly to be praised. Today, Jesus, I pray that you would open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. And today, Jesus, I pray that you would take us where you want us to go. Heavenly Father, you have something you want to say today, but I pray that even before I say a word, we would prepare our heart. Heavenly Father, the questions I have are to you, but they're questions we need to hear. Is our heart ready for what we're going to talk about today? And if it isn't, I pray that you would get it ready. Is our heart distracted? Is there something going on behind the scenes that has our focus? If there is, then we're missing what you're going to do in the next 30 minutes. Heavenly Father, have we made up our mind already on how we think and believe? And if we have, it's going to be very difficult to receive if you're already full. I'm speaking to us. So Lord, empty us. And now I pray for me, that you would anoint me to speak your word. I love you with all my heart. And I love your word. The way that you spoke to the disciples thousands of years ago, would that same spirit, Holy Spirit, be in this room today to speak to us? We love you. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we ended a series called I Just Want to Be Happy. And I'm very aware that we ended it. However, I thought since we ended it, there was some things that I wanted to say, but it just didn't fit. In fact, there was one particular thing that I wanted to talk about. But it didn't fit in the happy category. It was kind of in the category of, guys, you need to be prepared to be happy category. It was in the category of, okay, listen, if we're going to talk about the things that Jesus says will make you happy, this one was kind of, I assume you know this category. But the more that I got to thinking about it all week, I realized this would be a great time to now, after covering all the things we covered in the last 6 weeks, this is the, oh yeah, by the way, thing. It's kind of like when you drive off to college and your mom's told you how much she loved you, how you can do it, you can do anything, I'm so proud of you, you're so awesome. And then as you're driving off, she says, oh yeah, behave. Okay? This is kind of like those moments to where, you get a job and you make this money and then you're walking out and you can't wait to go spend it. You can't wait to go do it. And as you're walking out, someone says, oh yeah, don't forget to pay your taxes. Okay? So it doesn't fit in what we talked about, but it's very, very, very important that now that we've talked about what Jesus says makes you happy, and it wasn't what you thought it would be like, this is now the seal on the deal. And it's something I think I really feel led by the Holy Spirit to talk to you guys about today. If you didn't know, and now you're going to know, everyone in this room wants to be happy, but this is very important. There is a battle for your mind. I just want you to think that, settle in for a minute. We wrestled with how we were going to word this, and this really points us in the direction of what we're going to do today. There is a battle. There is a war. There is a conflict. There is opposition. There is an enemy. There is a fight for your mind. And the reality is, we can have great preaching, we can read from the Word, we can look at exactly what Jesus says, but if we don't have our mind right, whoever is in charge of our mind, whoever has won the battle, will soon take you right back where you were and further into the unhappiness that you don't want to be in him. And you could want with all of your heart to be happy. And you might have even, I've even thought about this. As I looked around the room, I've saw people who, you probably turned to me some point in the series and said, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. Okay? So if you're that person in the room like, I sat through the last 6 messages, but I'm happy. Shoot, I got my kids. I got my grandkids. House pays off. You know, I got my wife. I'm just happy. I can tell you what could make you really unhappy. If you read the Bible and saw what God wants for you, and then to ask you, are you here where Jesus says, come follow me? You know, don't talk to me about mind stuff. The other day, someone turned to me and said, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. And I wasn't trying to be the boss of me. And it wasn't my 2 boys who said that either, okay? You're not the boss of me. But the question that I asked right after that is, I said, okay, then who is the boss of you? And this has everything to do with the battle for the mind. You may say, you're not the boss of me. Preacher, you can't tell me what to do. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. In fact, we were having the coffee conversation, remember that? But if I'm not the boss of you, and you don't want anybody to be the boss of you, who is the boss of you? And it talks about this battle for your mind. And Jesus has some really cool things to think about this. And I think this is going to help a lot of people to realize that everything Jesus says is won or lost for you right here. Think about it. Jesus has overcome the enemy. But whether that victory comes into your life or not has everything to do with right here. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking either. I'm talking about the turnaround from you being kind of like Switzerland in the war. I'm just neutral. I'm on everybody's side. And to step out of being the neutral zone and to step into the war zone for the battle of your mind and the happiness that Jesus wants for you. So with that, I want to take you to a really cool conversation that took place with Jesus and his disciples. But this conversation just didn't happen. There were some Pharisees and teachers of the law who stepped in and asked Jesus, "Hey, do you know that your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat?" Okay, this is true. This is a great story, okay? Actually walked up and said, "Jesus, your disciples are a bunch of pigs." Okay, now this has some fun things. This lets us know just what the disciples were like. There was cussing Peter, but all of them didn't wash their hands. They were gross, okay? And God used them. And God used them to spread the gospel all the route, which is proof that God can use us too, okay? So here you have these guys, and the Pharisees come to him and said, "Listen, we've written this law in the law. It's so important for God's people to wash their hands before they eat. Any other way would be gross. And I just want to turn to you and say, I agree wholeheartedly, okay? You people who come out of the bathrooms without washing your hands need to get saved, okay? Okay, I'm just saying, it's not just for employees, all right? We need to come up with the signs that says everybody, okay? That'll preach right there. That's good stuff. Yes. Hallelujah. And we have this moment that Jesus hears them say, "Jesus, your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat." Now, in this case, you know, you've got some legalistic people that are turning and saying, "Okay, let's fix the wrong in you. You need to wash your hands." And instead of Jesus turning and going, "That's a great idea. I need to talk to the guys about that," Jesus turns around and says something right back to them. He says, "It's interesting that you bring up my disciples and how they don't wash their hands, but can I turn to you and I notice that you don't honor your mother and father. And Moses says that the penalty for not honoring, taking care of your mother and father is death. So you tell me which is worse, my disciples who don't wash their hands or you who don't have a heart for your mother and father?" And you end up saying, "God will repay them for what I owe them." And he then brings up Isaiah and says, "You praise me with your mouth, but your heart is wicked." And they walk off and they are angry at Jesus. Now the disciples, being the great guys they are, walk up to Jesus and go, "Man, thanks for sticking up for us, Jesus. You're so awesome." No, they turn to Jesus and they go, "Dang, you made them mad. I mean, Jesus, they're walking off and they're still talking about us. You're going to make life hard on us." And Jesus turns to him and says, "Oh, okay, let me turn to you guys, you couple pigs." He doesn't say that, okay? And he says these incredible words. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them." So the hand washing thing, though it's probably a very important thing, we all should wash our hands. But he says, what goes into a mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. I just want you to soak this in. Because this is the kind of stuff that you really have to pause and think and marinate on. You doing something doesn't necessarily cause the defilement, but it's what comes out of your heart, out of your mouth, that really shows where your heart and your mind is. And the disciples didn't understand. Like, "We don't understand what you're talking about. Explain it to us." And Jesus has to say this: "Are you so stupid? Are you so dull? I mean, guys, come on." And Jesus asked them, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes straight to the stomach and then out the body?" And I'll let you put that picture together, okay? He says, if you don't wash your hands, okay, what the Pharisees were bringing up was this whole thing about what you put into you. That's what's important. And he says, but what you put into you, it goes into the mouth, into the stomach, and out the body. But then he says this, guys, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from their heart. And these defile them. And I want you to pause and think, that you have your way of thinking, you have your personal opinion, and you might be good at saying, I'm happy. I'm happy. But Jesus would say, we should be able to tell just how happy you are, not by you saying, hey, I go to church every weekend, or I love Jesus, or I eat this food, or I wash my hands before I eat. I pray before I eat. I make sure, all the things that we consume. Jesus says we can tell how defiled or undefiled your heart is by the actions and the words that come from the heart and are a part of your mind. So when you say, I'm okay, but you go to work and you say ugly things about your old lady, and you go to the hairstylist and you say ugly things about your old man, and when you go and you live your life, but you just kind of cuss everybody that is in your life, when you find faults in other people, but you're unable to stop and point out the things that could be wrong in your own heart, Jesus says, this is where you're really going to find the defilement, and there is a war for your mind. For he says this, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, lying, and slander, speaking against people, even if they're bad people. Slander. These are what defile a person. But eating and drinking unwashed hands does not defile them. And sometimes we get this mixed up. They're not like us. They don't do it like us. And Jesus is quick to point out that it's the condition of the heart that lead to the thoughts, that leads to all the things. And if you haven't noticed real quick, it leads us to true unhappiness. And this is actually in this portion of scripture, Matthew, is where I begin to think for the first time about what makes us so unhappy. Why would our thoughts lead to murder? Why would our thoughts lead to adultery? Why would our thoughts lead to sexual immorality? Why would our thoughts lead to theft and even lying? Why would our thoughts lead to slander? And it's because our heart's not right, because there is a battle for your heart and your mind. This isn't unusual that Jesus is talking about this. This is something he points out often, the very reason why he says, you need me. Because I can give you life more abundantly. And we talked about this last week. I can make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I think this is important for every Christian in this room to stop and think about. And if you're in this room and you're not a Christ follower, it's good that you hear this conversation, because it's us admitting that we can be just as fleshly as we were before if we don't battle for the thoughts that come into our head. If we don't fight for who we're going to be in Christ Jesus, not people. I'm not talking about fighting people. Can I turn to you and say that politics has nothing to do with how you are? You have everything to do with how you are. And it's not a church that can change you. It's not a preacher that can change you. It's when you finally turn to Jesus and say, will you teach me to battle for who I am in you? In you. Now, if you really want to see where I built this whole series on, Paul has something awesome to say in Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, Paul kicks off and says, if then you have been raised with Christ, okay? So it means you have died to your flesh, and now you are alive in Christ Jesus. And that's so important. If you've never died to your flesh, you really ought to. Because that's when the resurrection makes the most sense, is when we die to our flesh so that we can have resurrection life in Christ Jesus, a whole new creation in Christ Jesus. The way that you're going to win the battle of your mind is through the power of the resurrection of Jesus, completely devoted to him so that he can win the battle for you. You may think you've got to learn how to love people. You may think you'll learn how to quit stealing. You're probably thinking today, I got to learn how to not glance at other things with my eyes. You can't win your battle. You've got to depend on Jesus. You've got to talk to him. Father, forgive me. God, show me how to live for you. Jesus, there's life in following you. There's happiness in following you. And you have to renew your mind daily. You've got to choose Jesus. And he says, hey, then if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. It's like a change of taste buds. It's like learning how to smell again after COVID. Have you ever got sick and your taste buds changed? There is a taste bud in your mind, and you think, this is just who I am. This is what I like. I'm going to be so unhappy. And can I turn to you and tell you, one of the most miraculous things you'll ever experience in your life is when Jesus changes your mind taste buds. And the things that used to satisfy you don't satisfy you anymore. And you truly can say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have seen this work with people who said that I could never walk away from alcohol. And they did. I could see people who never said, I could never walk away from tobacco. And they turned to Jesus and said, I need you. And miraculously, he changed their taste buds, how they viewed people, how they viewed life, how they viewed the world they live in, and their taste buds changed. You know why? Because they learned how to be in Christ Jesus. I think there's truly an illustration coming someday to where I'm going to ask you, do you have a Christmas paper relationship with Jesus? Where, hey, this is who I am, this is all I am, and we wrap ourselves up with Jesus, and we're about as thick in Jesus as Christmas paper. Or have we truly experienced open heart surgery with Jesus? And there's a difference between the two. Either we are the thin, I know Jesus, Christmas paper, or we have truly exposed our lives to complete reborn again experience of the heart change and the mind change and the taste change. And Paul says, if you're raised in Christ Jesus, seek the things from above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, this is going to be fun. I want to read you, if you've never read a chapter of the Bible before, we're going to do something fun today. I'm going to try to shake it up a little bit. You can go home today and say, I can mark something off the list. I actually read a whole chapter of the Bible today. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared. I'm fully aware of the time. Heather's over here and she's supposed to cough if I go too long. See, there we go. That was it. Yes. And so here we go. What does Paul have to say about this battle for your mind? He goes on, he says this. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. And then he goes on. And he says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. A death of your old flesh is a part of God's plan, and it will make you happy. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And he's saying this, this isn't a temporary thing. Guys, this is going to have an eternal impact on your life and your kids' lives and the lives that come after your kids. This could change your whole family dynamics forever. And you will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, as Jesus returns and can truly say, well done, kiddo. Well done. Paul goes on and says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. What is earthly in you? The old wants, the old habits, the old things that truly were the boss of you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This is where we find unhappiness. It only leads to more unhappiness. But each one of these things is something that we really thought was going to make us feel good, and it didn't. And this is where we find the unhappiness for the series we just covered. Paul goes on and he says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Whoa. All of these things are not God's best, and all of these things will be burned up someday. They are not God's plan for you. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. You were once unhappy walking in these things. And one of the things we covered in the series was one of the most valuable things you can have that make you happy is peace with God. And Paul says that these things don't bring peace with God. In fact, he goes on. Paul says, but now you must put them away. Anger, which you thought was going to make you feel good, because it feels good to just blow up all over people, but it didn't bring the happiness you thought it was going to bring. Wrath, which is a way of now becoming physical with the anger that you have. And it's all a mental thing. And we would think, but these things are the way we do things. It's fun to talk about later. I love hearing fight stories. And we don't realize that our family has come to such a place of unhappiness because we've just adopted this mentality that anger and wrath and malice are just the way you live your life. But every one of us is so unhappy in this. Slander and obscure talk from your mouth, Paul's saying, is a mental thing, and we must be renewed in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on, and he goes, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, the in Christ Jesus self. The church-going self? No. The agape fish on your bumper sticker self? No. The New King James Bible self? No. Leather bound? No. In Christ Jesus self, which is being renewed. Did you see that part? Which is being renewed. How often should we put on the new self? Every time we feel like we need to be renewed. Scripture tells us every day. Every day. So how often do we have to choose to be renewed? Every day. How often should we allow our mind to be renewed? How often should you have a conversation about the old self and the new self in Christ Jesus with Christ Jesus? Every day. So for everybody in the room that you made a decision once, and you thought that was good enough, this is an everyday renewal in knowledge after the image of its creator. You are now stepping into the plans of God the Father. And you know what this is called? Happiness. Finally, finding peace with God, peace with others, and peace with yourself. Paul goes on, here, there is not a Greek or a Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, Mexican, German, Caucasian, I just added those, barbarian, that guy, slave, free. Listen, this has nothing to do with what your culture was. And you can't turn and say, well, this is how my people are. This is how my neighborhood is. This is just how I am. How my family does things. He says, this isn't an us thing. This is actually a he thing. And for anybody, whether him or him or him or him or her or her or her or her, we get to choose. The unhappiness that will only lead to more unhappiness, or the plan that God has for you to renew our minds daily in Christ. Christ is all and in all. Paul continues. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, okay? He says you got to put these things on every day. Compassionate hearts. Ooh, that one's kind of not fun. It's fun when people are compassionate towards us, but when I have to be compassionate towards people, it's not much fun. And Jesus says, no, let me show you the fun part in it, but you got to put it on. And you got to put it on daily. And you got to recognize when it's not on and you need to put it on. And you need to hear me saying, it's not on, put it on. And you need to put it on daily, a compassionate heart. And Jesus says, and I'll show you how. And you know what's going to be fun? Living this kind of life. Being compassionate for people. Kindness. You can't figure out how to be kind. You'll only wear yourself out. But when we put it on daily, he will show us how to be kind consistently. Humility. Maybe some of you were brought up that if you're humble, people will walk all over you. And you will find this, that when you're humble, our God will always take care of you. The humble is the ones who can say, God, I don't see the end right now. They're barking at me. They're yelling at me. They're taking advantage of me. But I am in you, and I'm going to stay humble, and you will see God move you to places that you could have never moved on your own. He will pull you from one job and put you in one that he will go, this is where you're going to prosper. Or he'll keep you in a job, and you'll end up changing the whole company because you stayed humble. And God will use you because the prideful can never be used by God. But daily you put on humility, and it will always bring the best that God has. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness, but we've got to learn how to put it on. Patience. But we've got to learn how to put it on. God, show me how to be patient. Show me how to be patient. Show me how to be patient. Paul goes on and says this, bearing one another, which means we learn how to carry each other. And you will find that Jesus' burden is light as he shows us how to put it on. If one has a complaint against another, so we learn how to carry one another, even if we have a complaint against each other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I heard an amazing story the other day. For all my friends in the room that have a Mennonite heritage, let me just tell you, I was just recently inspired by something amazing that took place in a Mennonite community where one man was building a house. One Mennonite man was building a house. Another Mennonite man was going to put the septic system in. And so he went to put the septic system in, and just things went wrong. Things out of his control. The ground was too hard. He didn't have enough pipe. Things went wrong. And so he did the best he could. And when they put it all together, the septic system didn't work like it was supposed to be. Now you have two brothers in the Lord who have an ought against each other. They didn't go to court. They didn't get into a fight. And they didn't sue each other. They went to their brothers in the Lord and they set them down and said, we have ought against each other, but we don't want to ought against each other. And we trust you men, you godly serving men, to come help us know what to do. Does he owe me money? Or do I just have to live with a broken septic system? And these Mennonite leaders sat down, and here was their conclusion. Are you ready? The man who built the septic system didn't have the money to fix the septic system. And the man who had the house needed his septic system built. So the men who sat on the panel to figure out what to do came to the conclusion that each one of them, as leaders in the church, was going to chip in so much money. And those men, because these men chose not to fight, chose to pay for the sewer system to be done correctly. And this is church leadership at its best. And this is the love of Jesus at its best. And this is walking in Christ Jesus at its best. And they had a complaint against each other, but they were willing to carry the burden together. They forgave each other, and just as the Lord had forgiven them. And you know what, folks? I think that's possible in this body of Christ as well. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul goes on and says, And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know another way to say perfect harmony? Happiness. Peace. The perfect plan of God. And, Paul goes on, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And let it rule in your minds daily, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. And be thankful. I'm wrapping this message up. I do want to say something about thankfulness. I truly think that a byproduct of godly happiness is thanksgiving and thankfulness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just kind of turn to you real quick and tell you, your worship does matter. It is a byproduct of your heart and your mind. It's very difficult to be a worshiper and even understand worship if we have not surrendered our heart and our mind to Christ Jesus. If we have not fought for the thoughts that come into our head. It is hard to raise your hands and worship Jesus if we have not battled for the thoughts in our head. And Paul says this, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So we come together to learn God's word. But we're also going to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're going to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And worship won't make sense if you have not allowed Jesus to win the war in your mind. But he could. And can I tell you what worship means to me and worship to a lot of people in this room? It's our victory song. It's a song of praise for all that God has done in me. I'm not the same man I was many years ago. I drove around this morning and just said, God, there's a reason to be thankful. There's a reason to be thankful. There's a reason to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a reason to come before your word and allow our mind to be renewed, because you are a good God and I am not the same man that I used to be. I'm not happy because I'm stubborn. And just like, I'm just saying, I'm happy. Don't I look happy? I'm happy. So happy. Heather, I'm happy. I can truly, honestly say with a major pause, I'm not the same guy I used to be. I'm not the same guy I used to be. I don't think same thoughts I used to think. I know you know me as Pastor Ty. I know your kids think my first name's Pastor. But I used to not always be Pastor Ty. Until he came and became my Savior. Until he became my Lord. And I struggled. I'll tell you this, I struggled. How do you follow Jesus? It's so hard. It made no sense. And I would hear always, Ty, you got to renew your mind. You got to renew your mind. And this whole process of renewing my mind in Christ Jesus and putting on the full armor of God, putting on the thoughts that he thinks, changed me forever. The old Ty Bean is dead, and I'm truly a new creation in Christ Jesus. And there are living, breathing testimonies in this room of people that can go, amen, Ty Bean. Amen, Ty Bean. Amen, Ty Bean. Our marriage isn't what it used to be when we started renewing our minds in Christ Jesus. My life's not the same. Our kids would have turned out completely different if we wouldn't have done it God's way. And when we renewed our minds, it shaped new minds in them. Paul closes and he says this, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The worship team's coming out. And I thought this was really great. Great closing. Whatever you do, guys, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us anymore. It's not about you anymore. It's not about me anymore. I live for him, and I give thanks to the God, my Father, which is possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right before I came on the stage, Greg Laurie, who was one of my favorite pastors, put out an Instagram post. I thought it was really interesting because we're all wanting to be brave. We're all wanting to be brave. We don't want to be cowards. We don't want to, you know, be bossed around. But Greg Laurie made this statement about being brave as a follower of Jesus. And Greg Laurie made this post. He said, "I think committed Christians are true rebels in our culture today. Don't tell me that it's rebellious to do what everyone else does. Don't tell me it's rebellious to do what everybody else does. Say what everybody else thinks. Be woke and conform to a pre-existing culture that is changing before our very eyes. Don't tell me this is rebellion. You want to really be rebellious? You want to really be brave? Stand for Christ." I would have to agree with this. That's the battlefield for your mind. Four things to think about. One, happy people want nothing to hinder their relationship with God. And that's one of the first things that Paul tells us in what we learned today, Colossians. Happy people will sacrifice everything else to follow Jesus. Happy people will pursue the things that God has for them, and renewing their mind daily, nothing will interfere or hinder their relationship with God. Second thing, in Paul's letter, he says, basically says, happy people renew their thoughts daily. Happy people renew their thoughts. They don't stay the old way. They renew their thoughts daily. Change me, Lord Jesus. Change me, Lord Jesus. You know how you walk 1,000 miles? You start with one step. You start with one step. And every day is a one-step day. And we must renew our thoughts daily. Second thing that Paul tells us is this. He says this. Happy people release old habits. You can't be the new thing, a new person, if we still do old things. Taste buds will change, but it's only going to change, not by your might or your power, but by his might and his power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing, okay, happy people. Happy people make new, healthier, Christ-centered habits. So we're going to do something. The worship team is going to play. We're going to just take a moment. And I just want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Somewhere in this message today, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit began to knock on the door of your heart about renewing your mind. Is there just a stubbornness? Is there an old way of living? Is there a set in your ways? And if there is it really God's best? It may not be awful, but is it undermining what God is trying to do? Now we're just going to take a moment, and I just want you to start talking to him. If he's knocking on the door of your heart, I have realized that as a pastor, I cannot answer your door for you. But if you would have the faith right now to recognize that it's Jesus on the other end asking you to follow him, would you right now answer the door of your heart and say, "Jesus, I really want to follow you. Jesus, I really want what you want. Don't let me be the old person. Don't let me be stubborn in my old ways. Will you renew my mind? Let's walk away from the old stuff and let's step into the new creation that I am in you." There may be some forgiveness you need to ask. "Father, would you forgive me for this and this and this?" Have a conversation with him right now. And now I want you to just begin to pray. God, change my wants. Change the things I desire. Change the wants in my life. I pray it'd be like changing taste buds. It just isn't pleasing to me anymore. It's not what I want anymore. It's lost its flavor. It's lost its color. It's lost its pull. And Jesus, I want to just surrender my life to you, and I just want to completely admit I'm ready for what you want for my life. Even the believers in the room, let's renew our mind right now. And now I want you to pray this prayer. And this is a prayer I've prayed with my boys and my nephews for years. Okay? And I want you to say this. Jesus, right now, I want to think the thoughts you think of me. I want the things you want for me. And I want to do the thing you want me to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on. I really truly believe that this seals the deal. There is a battle for your minds. And we got to start fighting the fight that Jesus is fighting for it. Let's start after praying that prayer. Let's stand to our feet. Let's take this moment to worship the Lord and to really let Him soak us in His praise and worship. Let's honor Him. Let's be thankful. Let's be grateful. Come on, guys. Let's close this service with capping it with worship, and let's really worship our God in spirit and truth. Come on, let's worship the Lord.